your hair before you're 24, and you want more hair on your head than you had before. Dr. Rumor's office is where you want to be for the best hair transplant surgery.
Welcome to the Baldcast Podcast, a show about hair loss, hair restoration, and other related topics brought to you by Dr. Yu. Today's topic is about FUE punches. We are joined today by Dr. Yu. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So we have a few questions set up for you, so let us start. What are FUE punches?
Well, first of all, what is FUE? So FUE is follicular unit extraction. These days, some people prefer to call it follicular unit excision. Be that as it may, that just refers to the process of cutting around hair follicles and their location, be it the head or body, and cutting around it to separate it from its attachment until it's free. So you can remove it and then plant it in areas where you want hair to grow. So it's a way of treating baldness or hair loss. So that's what FUE is, follicular unit extraction. And the punches refers to the what I call the business end of any FUE procedure or any FUE tool is the punch. That's the tip of the spear. That's the tip that goes in, actually does the cutting around the individual hair follicle to free it. And they are typically, they consist of hollow cylindrical tubes that have a sharp cutting tip at the end of it. And that cutting tip is what encircles the graft, and by manipulating it, either using your hands, the hands of the doctor, or by mounting it on a machine, mechanical device, it moves in such a way that it affects a cut around the graft or the follicle. That's what punches are in general.
Now, why is it important to know the difference between these punches?
It is important to know the difference between the punches because, like I said, that's really the end all be all of FUE. And if you don't have the right punch, then you may end up with damaged grafts. If the follicles are damaged during removal, they don't grow, or they don't grow as well, or they grow weird. So in the patient's interest, they need to know what kind of punch is being used on them before going for the procedure, both in terms of the type, in terms of the shape, the configuration of the punch, or the size of the punch. Because these things all add up to determining the quality of your hair transplant.
What are the different types of punches?
I classify FUE punches to two major groups. The first group is punches that work by a rotational movement. So for these punches to effect their cut, they have to rotate in a circular motion, what we call radial motion. So it's like a saw that has to rotate in a radial motion to effect the cut around the follicle. The radial motion could be complete revolutions, in which case it's moving in a continuous rotation or cycle in one direction, be it clockwise or anti-clockwise, although most of them are clockwise. Or it could also be what we call oscillations, where the radial movement goes back and forth like a pendulum swings from clockwise to anti-clockwise. Either way, the idea is the sharp cutting tip needs to move in one of these directions, a rotational direction, be it oscillation or continuous revolution, to effect a cut and cut around the follicle to free it. That's one group, a major group. The other major group, which not many punches of that nature exist, I happen to have developed most of that technology, is the non-rotary punches. Here, the punches exert their cutting effect without any rotational, without any radial movement involved. So neither the revolution or the oscillation is involved. Instead, the movement of these punches, this group of punches that we are developing, is completely axial. So it moves more like what you call, it moves up and down, basically. So it's perpendicular to the skin, and you just exert a stabbing motion, and it moves, it works that way. So they're just like needles that have sharp prongs, and those prongs, the tip of the prongs are sharp enough that they can pierce the skin. But they are designed in such a way that as you pierce the skin and as you go deep into the skin, they effectively cut a circular cut around the follicle. We envisage that this FUE path is going to be much easier to actually practice because you don't need a lot of skill to encircle the graft with a cylindrical punch and just jab into it with in a needle-like stab motion to free it. And the trick is in the design and engineering of it to make that possible. And so far, we've achieved a lot of success. Anyway, so broadly speaking, to answer your question, there are two major groups, the rotary punches and the non-rotary punches, which I've just described. Now, each of them has subgroups. Based on all the types of punches that are out there, we can confidently classify all rotary punches into three major groups based on the sharpness of the tip of the punch. So it could be sharp, in which case the tip of the punch points directly at the skin that it's supposed to cut. So it's a perpendicularly directed at the skin, and it is sharp. It could also be blunt, where you have the same situation, but the tip is deliberately blunted. It could be blunt in a rounded, blunt manner, or it could also be lightly flat, where the flatness is literally perpendicular to the, sorry, parallel to the skin surface. And then you have something that is intermediate, which is something that I created back in 2009, where the tip itself is deliberately flared so that it is shaped in a flared manner, so that the tip deliberately points away from the center of the tube, where the follicle is supposed to be. And this is done for two reasons. One, the cutting action is away from the follicle, so there's less likelihood of the punch cutting into the follicle that it's trying to isolate with that. The other thing also is that it gathers more tissue around the follicle, which we know is an advantage. The more tissue you have around the follicle, the more likely it's going to survive than the other way around. So these are the three major categories. Outside of that, there are other sort of accessorization that has been added, depending on the inventors and the manufacturers, to enhance either of these three. But all punches, all rotary punches, can broadly fall into either of those, one of those three categories. And then the non-rotary punches, the best way to classify those is according to the number of prongs. So you, by definition, have to have more than one prong. So you could have just two prongs, they are bi-pronged. Or they could be multi-pronged, whereby they have more than two prongs. So all non-rotary punches can fall into either bi-pronged or multi-pronged. They also could be accessorized, and the accessorization will still fall within either of those two groups.
Just out of curiosity, what kind of patients would benefit more from rotational punches versus non-rotational punches?
Most FUE is performed right now with rotational punch. So maybe the best thing to just discuss is what is the role of non-rotational punch? What kind of patient will benefit from the non-rotary punches? We already know the patients that have benefited from rotary punches. Like I mentioned, the non-rotary punch presents one advantage. It's going to be much easier to form and to learn because you don't have moving parts. With the rotary punches, you have parts that are moving. Punches rotating, either oscillating or revolving at a speed. And then with that, you still have to coordinate and align the punch and try to guess the angle of the hair and get it. With the non-rotary punch, that aspect of the moving part is removed. So you have a perfectly still object that you will, direct and aim the hair at. That should be very easy to do. So that eliminates a good part of the aspect of the procedure that is typically, that some people may find intimidating. That's number one. Two, I think when you have moving parts and you have blood and fluid, sometimes you have all this village around there. With this type of punch, you don't have that. Everything is perfectly still. So there's less chance of having a mist of body fluids and all that around. So if you're dealing with a situation where the area is bloody, you have an easier time with the non-rotary punches. And finally, in patients that have that do not want to have their hair shaved, we call this unshaven FUE, this method of FUE will be much more ideal for that scenario. Because if you don't shave, you're going to have a lot of hair in the place with a lot of blood, and you know, the having a rotary or moving punch in that vicinity can present a challenge. It's been done, but it could be better. If we have a punch that doesn't move, that you can just aim and get the hair, that scenario would be an advantage. So that's the what we foresee as the role of the non-rotary. It will be easier to practice, easier to learn, and also the most ideal for patients who want to have unshaven FUE.
I know that there are different sizes of FUE punches.
Yes.
Is that important? And if so, why is it important?
Well, the sizes of the punches are important. They determine two major things. One is the size of the wound that the punch creates is affected by the size of the punch. So that also means, you know, the footprint that the surgery leaves will be determined by that. The degree of scarring that you end up with will be determined by that. So the bigger the punch, the bigger the wound, the bigger the scar. It's not as simple as that. Not all punches are the same. Some punches, size for size, will still give you a better wound profile than another punch of the same size. But if you go to the same group of punches, a bigger punch will always create a bigger wound compared to its counterpart that is smaller in size but the same in design. So that's one important thing. And obviously, most people opt for this follicular excision or extraction form of surgery because they want less telltale signs. They wouldn't want to have big scars or visible scarring. So the idea is to use as small a punch as you can to create the least amount of wounding and scarring consequently. So that's one. Two is the size of the grat. A bigger punch will give you, will gather more tissue around the grat or follicle. And like it's known conventionally that bulkier grafts survive better. So you have two things that you have to strike a balance with. On one hand, a bigger punch will give you a better graft because it's bulkier, but then it will also give you a bigger wound and a bigger scar. So the idea is to find a punch which, by virtue of its design, and I call that the intelligent design, will give you the least amount of wounding and then still produce a bulky graft. That's really where the flared punches come into play. When the punch is flared, it is designed to gather more tissue around the graft. And this concept, which I developed in 2009, so far has taken off in the hair transplant industry. I think it took quite a while for people to realize that, but I'm glad that finally it's caught on. But more tissue around the graft will be derived by a flared punch of the same size as a punch that is not flared. So if you have a 1 millimeter punch that is flared on one hand and you have a 1 millimeter punch that is not flared on the other, the flared punch will give you a bulkier graft compared to the non-flared punch. So that's just by virtue of its design. Now, there are different types of flared punches, which it's a topic for a different discussion. We think we have now a more evolved form of flared punches that I now call intelligent punches. But just the basics of it is that a flat punch will give you that advantage. So size for size, you can have the same wound profile, but better grounds with the flat punch. And if the flat punch is evolved enough as an intelligent punch, it will also give you a better wound profile. So you have a better wound profile and a better graft at the end of the day.
You mentioned this punch earlier. The one that you developed. This is known as the Dr. Yu Punch Eye, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Can you elaborate more upon this punch? What makes it stand out upon the other punches?
When I started developing punches, all punches were all straight, horizontal edged. There was no flaring. And when the flared phenomenon, when the first when I conceived of that, the first primitive designs, I call them, were punches that were shaped like trumpets, basically. But what happens with that is that you have the advantage of the flared punch with that design, but then what happens is the flare that gives you the tips of the trumpet will have a larger diameter, outer diameter, compared to the main body, the cylinder of the punch. So it gathers a lot of tissue, but then what happens is that tissue has to now go into a very narrow path. All right. And that now means that you have more resistance of the graft or the tissue going through that cylinder. That's one. So it means that if you look at the size of the cylinder compared to even the normal punch, it will be relatively larger because the tip, the cotton tip of the trumpet will be bigger than, size for size, a punch that is not flared. And that difference, which I call the X, I considered something that could be avoided. So we now developed it, so then we took it to the next stage whereby the flare was achieved without an increase in diameter, outer diameter of the punch. And that took some engineering to make that work consistently, but it did. So you are able to achieve the effect of the flare, get the benefits of it without increasing the size of the punch. So that was the evolution of these punches. So that already you have one, which is what I call the dumb flat punch, which is just a trumpet-shaped punch. And then you have a punch that now has evolved a little bit. And then we did a few other things on the inside of the punch, on the outside of the punch, and worked also on the cylinder of the punch to give us what we now call the Dr. Yu Punch Eye, which is the intelligent punch. The punch is intelligent because it does the kind of things that you do not see with typical punches before. For instance, the punch is engineered in such a way that it negotiates angles of the graft by itself, literally. You just have to have it spinning, have it centered on the, or cup the graft or the hair follicle, and you will literally see the punch drilling down and trying to navigate the course of the punch. That is not what you find with other punches. That is an intelligent feature, and that's one of the things that makes it an intelligent punch. This is not something that is aided by the skill of the operator. It does not rely on any technology to do any other technology outside of itself to do that. It does it on its own. Even if you put it on any machine, it will still do the same thing. It pulls the grafts up, cuts around it, releases it, navigates the course of the graft, even if it's angled. You see, doing that, if you misalign the punch, either deliberately or by mistake, many times you find that the graft, the punch, actually corrects, self-corrects, and gets the graft. We've done that, we've demonstrated that in videos, and that obviously, compared to pre-existing punches, will amount to, will justify the name intelligent punch. Also, the punch is built in such a way that it tries to stop itself. Don't with a few E for the punches today, you know, you either have to put in something to a sleeve to control the depth, which is what people which is the state of the art, or you just develop a feel for how deep to go, and you have to keep developing this feel as you go from one part of the head to the other, or one part of the body to the other, and that takes a lot of skill. But with this punch, you find that it goes as deep as it needs to, and then stops, or rather stops proceeding, going any deeper, obviously within reasonable limits. So that in itself, those three features put together, is what makes it clearly, compared to its predecessors, intelligent. That's why we call it intelligent punch.
Well, that's all the questions we have for today. Thank you for speaking, Dr. Yu.
It's a pleasure. I would invite our viewers to stay tuned for the next episode. We intend to do this fairly regularly. This medium, the broadcast, will be means to educate the public about follicular extraction and the kind of work we are doing input for myself and some of my colleagues. Thank you so much for listening.
So before you go any further, here's what you gotta do. Pick up the phone, make an appointment for you. Pick up the phone, make an appointment for you. Pick up the phone, make an appointment for you.